Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Hawk Sports Radio. I'm Andy Martinez, joined here by my co-host, Andrew McCulloch. Andrew, how's it going?
It's going pretty well. Lots to talk about today. Pretty exciting weekend for sports for QU. First up, obviously, we've got the Halloween matchup against Truman State. It's a nationally televised game. You know, a lot of excitement for the Hawks. I mean, they haven't had a great season overall, just 2-5. You know, it's been pretty disappointing. I know you and I both kind of expected a little more from them, but, you know, it's a new dawn, it's a new day, so hopefully they can put last week's pretty embarrassing loss behind them and, you know, put up a good fight against Truman State.
Yeah, it's been a rough, I guess that's even an understatement, rough set of few days for the QU football team. Obviously, they have the drubbing against Ohio Dominican. And then the reports started coming out. Well, I guess there weren't reports. So there was the court hearing for former running back Dante Flowers was being circulated around the internet. And then he had his court hearing and was found guilty or was had a guilty plea on a class 4 felony of drug possession, and he was dismissed from the program subsequently. And it's been an ugly few days for the football program.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, good point that someone actually talked to me about yesterday was you know, Dante, he's been undergoing this kind of, you know, trial for a while, this hearing that, you know, team was aware of the fact that he was going through this, and you know, he still played in 3 games.
Yeah.
You know, one could wonder, would you play a player those 3 games, or would you suspend him until the trial?
Yeah.
Was, I mean, it's kind of a questionable thing, but
yeah.
You know, just all that aside, obviously the loss of Dante Flowers is going to hurt the team a little bit. You know, he provided a spark. Obviously, he had that 44-yard run last week.
It was his best offensive game in a QU uniform in his 4 years was last week, and now you won't be able to rely on that this week.
No, not at all. So, and I mean, you still don't know, you know, how exactly healthy Chris Harris is. So you're going to have to depend, you know, on your freshman running backs, obviously, that, you know, senior leadership that Dante may have provided, no longer there. So, I mean, it's been a really poor week for the Hawks on and off the field. They've just had a lot of miscues against Ohio Dominican. They were just kind of dominated in every facet. You know, obviously Lonergan's looking to put his performance behind him. Just not a very good performance at all. Poindexter was held in check last week. So, you know, against Truman State, this is an opponent they're familiar with, obviously a GLVC rival, so they're going to have a better game plan, I think, this coming week. They're going to know what they're going to, you know, they're going to be expecting what Truman State is going to bring, is what I'm trying to say. Sorry, kind of words are everywhere right now, but I think it's going to be, obviously, more closely contested. It's not going to be a 45-point blowout.
I would be really, really shocked if that happened. But one thing that we've learned about this QU football team is the last few weeks that the defense has been, or especially last week, the defense has been struggling, which wasn't necessarily the case at the beginning of the season and where the offense was clicking. Last week, you know, obviously the scoreline won't ever say it or if you just look at it, but the offense had a pretty good game. Outside of Nick Lonergan having a rough day, but, you know, at that point you were trying to pass it and trying to score quickly and get on the board quickly and get the offense rolling. But the offense, you know, you're running the ball. You had your best day offensively running the ball all season. You don't want to necessarily reflect too much on that game, but if you want to try and take some positives, you look at it and say, you know, we rushed for 200-plus yards last game. We're giving ourselves we're starting to do things that we want to do right. And if you can do this against Truman State, you put yourself in a position to win. Is it going to be easy? No, of course not. Truman State's a really, really good team. But if you run the ball and you establish a running game, that makes it so much easier on Nick Lonergan, because you're not forcing him to throw 35 times a game and having to throw it deep every single time, where, you know, that's not Nick Lonergan's game.
Yeah, and with Truman State right now, they're rolling 3 straight wins. With the Hawks this week, I think they're just going to have slow, methodical drives on the offensive side of the ball. Like you said, they're going to have to establish their running game because obviously the defense, they don't have it the last few games.
Mm-hmm.
So I know this sounds obvious, but, you know, I'm going to be obvious. Keep the defense off the field. You know, have those long drives on the offensive side of the ball that result in 7, not 3 points. You know, use your running backs to your advantage. You have Chris Harris. Obviously, you've got a couple of freshman running backs that have been solid. you know, when you establish that running game, it's going to allow a lot of, you know, a lot of time for Lonergan to throw the ball. They're going to provide open passing lanes for him. It's going to leave Poindexter a chance to, you know, be Poindexter and get open. You know, it's just that balanced attack that we've been asking for pretty much the entire season. That's the most effective that the Hawks can be on offense.
Yeah, and one thing that I wanted to point out, QU last time they, or against Ohio Dominican, they rushed for 205 yards. And two touchdowns as a team, not one person, but it's a good offensive performance from the running game and something that you want to have them be doing week in and week out. I know that's what Coach Padgett wants because that's kind of how his offense is predicated. But against Lincoln, your first win of the season in week two, QU runs for 222 yards and three touchdowns. Then the following week, they follow that up with 63 yards rushing. So I guess the thing is you can't be satisfied with what you did and say that you're going to be able to do it consistently because you've proven that that's not necessarily the case. So you got to be able to go out there and prove that, hey, we can rush the ball for 200 times or for 200 yards week in and week out, and we can punch you in the mouth.
Yeah. In fairness, that one game that after Lincoln was Southwest Baptist, and they had one of the stronger running games in the GLVC. Just twice this season in the seven games for the Hawks that they haven't been able to run for more than 100 yards as a team. Obviously, the first one against Northern Michigan. So, I mean, that's something you look at as positive. Obviously, you expect, you know, with the talent that this team has on offense to get over 100 yards rushing, you know, as a team. But, you know, that's kind of been their strength for me is able to, you know, get things going on the running game. When they're able to get things going with the running game, they're going to win more games than lose. However, you know, with the defense, been hit or miss. And I feel like, you know, while the defense has been able to get a couple stops here and there that have been important, there's always been something that's been missing from this Hawks team, whether, you know, say the defense is able to get a stop, but then the offense, you know, they'll get the ball and they won't be able to capitalize on that. Or say the offense is rolling one day and then the defense, you know, just has a bad game. It's just been so inconsistent. It hasn't all really come together at all for the Hawks this season. And I think that's why they're 2-5. I mean, yeah, you got the talent. You got a good coach and Coach Padgett who does a great job with his guys. But you know what? When there's a lack of consistency there, you know, and not being able to pull together every single facet of the game for one game, you know, you're not going to win a lot of football games.
Yeah. The one game where I think close to everything was clicking was Lincoln. But even that game, defensively, you gave up, I think, what was it, 500? Yeah, over 500 yards of total offense. You just got the stops when you needed to. That was the closest game I can think of to where QU played good on both sides of the ball. With St. Joe's, they played pretty well. They played well defensively. They played all right offensively. They weren't anything. They weren't what they have been in other games where they were, you know, clicking on all cylinders. William Jewell, the first half, I think that was the best game that they played.
I was going to say, I know it's only one half, but the first half against William Jewell was the closest I've seen this team clicking on all cylinders. Even special teams is doing really well. So, yeah, it hasn't been going. Obviously, you know, you just look at one half when you're clicking on all cylinders. Obviously, you look at that and say, wow, this team's only clicked on all cylinders for one half. It's not a problem. If I told you that, you're probably going to tell me, well, they're not having a very good season then. And you
that's
know,
what that's what it is right yeah. now. Yeah, it's been rough for QU this whole season. You know, they've shown blimps of where they can be and where they should be, really. But then they've shown, you know, glimpses of where they're really at or you know, what they're lacking or just they just show one great aspect in one game and you're like, all right, this is the game they're going to turn the corner. And then they go and lay a goose egg, whether it's the next half, the next drive, the next play even. And it's just like, well, what's going on here? And it's frustrating to see that because you see the talent that's there and the possibility that the QU football team has.
Yeah, you look at this team, and just piggybacking off what you said, it's one step forward and two steps back with this team. Every time you see something good happen, you know, they follow it up with something bad, and you just leaves your head scratching, you know, what's going on with this team. But, you know, looking forward to this matchup here, a home game for the Hawks, just like last week against, you know, a rival in Truman State that you know well because obviously you play them every year. It's not like Ohio Dominican where you step in not exactly sure, you know, what their game plan is, not sure how you're going to attack them or play them on defense. With Truman State, you know, Padgett obviously has a few years under his belt, so he knows what this Truman State team has to offer. What do you think the most important key is for this Hawks team in order to, you know, I'd say maybe even steal a victory against Truman State the way they're playing, even though it's a home game?
I think the most important thing will be establishing the run. If they can establish the run, they'll be fine. I think I'm not saying they're going to win for sure, but they put themselves in a position to be able to do what they want offensively and be able to have success on the offensive side of the ball. If they can't establish a run, then you're forcing Nick Lonergan to chuck it deep every single time, and that plays right into Truman State's hands. I can almost guarantee you that that's probably what they're trying to do is negate the what that's what their game plan coming in is. They want to negate the run, and have Nick Lonergan throw you and try and beat you with his arm, because I think Truman State knows that won't happen against them.
Yeah, while I agree, establishing the run is important for me. Number two for me is time of possession. I think the Hawks have to win time of possession. I think they have to have their offense on the field. Long drives, keep their defense off the field. It's struggling right now. Yep. And Truman State's been putting up, you know, points on the board. They scored 40 last week against William Jewell in a 40-28 victory. So, you know, with how Truman State's offense has been playing, it's important for QU to have those long drives, you know, get those 4 to 5 yard running gains. Like you said, keep getting the first downs on the ground, and then it'll open up, you know, passing lanes for Lonergan. And I think with long drives like this, QU could steal, you know, maybe like a 21-17 kind of game. I think that's really the way QU has to win this ball game, is keeping it, you know, a low to mid-range kind of scoring game.
Yeah, the one game that they got into a shootout that they won was against Lincoln. But outside of that, you know, if you get into a shootout with QU, you got a good chance to win, because QU, that's just not who they're built. That's not how they're built. That's not a knock on them. That's just how they are. So you have to be winning 24-20. You have to be winning 18-12 like you did against St. Joe's. You have to be winning grinded out close games, because you're not going to beat a team 55-50. That's just not who they are. And so it's important to be able to keep the score low and just, you know, grind out the possessions when you need them. You know, if you get the ball on your own 40, you have to score on that drive. You have to be able to convert on those drives. Conversely, if Truman State gets the ball inside their own 20, you got to stop them. You know, plenty of times teams have gone against QU and driven the ball 85 yards for a touchdown, and it's just that kind of stuff can't be happening. You know, will it happen a few times? Yeah, you know, it's just how football is. But you can't allow that to happen week in and week out or consistently and expect to win and have success on the football field.
Yeah, I agree. This defense, you know, they've obviously kind of struggled pretty much in every aspect last week. Is there one thing that they have to do in order to, you know, kind of jumpstart their defense, whether it's get pressure on the quarterback, just stopping the run, having a strong secondary? Is it all of those aspects, or is there one thing in general that you think can get this defense clicking and getting them to hold this Truman State team to, you know, 10-17 points?
I think, you know, obviously all the things you mentioned, you know, the stopping the run and getting stops is important and things like that. But I think if you come out in the first possession and you force them to go three and out, or even you do a turnover, then you've got momentum. Because right now, the QU defense probably has no momentum, no confidence right now. And if you get a big play on that first drive of the game, you stop Truman State, you hit them right in the mouth, you put yourselves in position to you know, get the momentum back, and you start, you know, getting some confidence and say, all right, guys, we can do this. Let's get another one and another one and another one. And then you give yourself a chance to win. But if you give up a big play, you give up a big drive from the opening get-go, then, you know, your job as a defense is becoming more difficult, and your confidence gets just more hit. And you really don't want that right now if you're on the defense right now. You want to get more confidence and not keep getting hit in the mouth like you have in the last week and a half.
Yeah, and looking at Truman State's stats here, I mean, they score about 20 points a game. They give up 20 points a game, you know, pretty balanced overall in offense and defense. The one thing, though, that's different with them is Truman State tends to get more of their yardage on the ground while they give up more through the air.
Yep.
So, you know, with QU, obviously, you know, Truman State not giving up a lot of yardage on the ground. So, like you said, establishing the running game is going to be very important here. Obviously, you cannot fall behind, because Lonergan's not that kind of quarterback, you know, who plays well when he falls behind. And something I'm going to look for here, you know, this Saturday is, you know, Lonergan being a better, you know, I think he's going to be more of a game manager, obviously, if QU is able to, you know, not fall so quickly behind. And I'm looking, obviously, for Eric Poindexter to have more production than he did last week. I'm not saying he had a bad game. Obviously, Ohio Dominican just held him in check with the two receptions. Yeah, that's going to happen every now and then. But I look for him, you know, he's he's such an electric player. I think he's going to burst out, you know, for the 5-6 receptions, 80 to 90 yards again this week.
I don't think Truman State shuts down Poindexter like Ohio Dominican did.
No.
I think he'll have a big game. And I think if he does, that opens up a lot for the KU offense because, you know, if you eliminate Poindexter and you eliminate the run, then you really eliminated the KU. You probably eliminated 98% of the KU offense. And, you know, if you do that, you've got yourself a chance to win. But it's going to be important to be able to establish a run and get Poindexter going. What's your prediction for this game coming up?
Prediction, you know, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to pick Truman State. I'm going to pick Truman State to win this one, probably 31-20.
That's close to what I was going. I was going Truman State 31-17. It's going to be a grinded out game. It won't be a blowout. It won't be a shootout like we saw against Lincoln. I think it'll be a closer game and a little grinded out game.
Right, but nonetheless, the way Truman State's been rolling coming into KU, they're playing really well right now. It's not the right time for the Hawks to have to run into this. Truman State overall 3-2 in the conference and 4-4 overall, but that 3-game winning streak and the Hawks, you know, on the other end, they've lost 3 in a row. So it's going to be a tough game for the Hawks. So I would expect Truman State to win. I'm not counting out the Hawks, so. In this one, obviously a home game. We'll see how it goes, but we're going to go ahead and transition into you know, another big weekend here for both men's and women's soccer teams. We're going to kick things off with the men, who we talked about had a big game against Truman State in our preview. They ended up winning that game.
You come from behind, 2-1
win.
Yeah,
2-1 win. Big win for them. They've now won 3 games in a row, which is big time. They've solidified that home game in the quarterfinal for the GLVC tournament. They will be playing a tough opponent, though, in Bellarmine, who beat the Hawks 4-1 earlier this season. So, Andy, why don't you go ahead and give me a little preview of what you think might happen with this game?
I don't think it'll be a 4-1 game this week. I think it'll be a closer game. But I think it will be really, really tough for KU. I think one thing that kind of changes, you know, when KU played Bellarmine, you kind of had to remember where they were at. They were on a long road trip. They've been struggling leading up to that game. You know, they lost a tough game to Drury the week before. And then they go out and play Bellarmine the day after your All-American forward gets kicked off the team.
Right.
So you go out there and you lose 4-1 to them. And then you lose to Southern Indiana. But since then, KU has been almost a completely different team. They've won 3 in a row. They moved up to third in the conference, kind of, you know, steadied the ship. After the weekend against Bellarmine, the team looked like they were the ship was sinking. And I don't know how they did it.
For a moment, they lost the paddle, but they got it back.
Yeah, but now they're right back on. They're treading, and you know, they're in position. They're in fifth in the regional rankings. They're in position. If the NCAA tournament started today, they'd be in. And Bellarmine, conversely, 8-7, 10-8 overall. And they've lost 3 in a row, so they're going two teams going in completely different directions. I don't want to say that, you know, KU's got the favorable matchup right now, but I think you've got a little bit more confidence than if this game would have been played a few weeks ago.
Absolutely, I completely agree. Just looking, like you said, it's a tale of two different teams at the moment, and it was a tale of two different teams 2 weeks ago when they played, but. You know, I think KU has to have the edge in this one going into the matchup if we're just looking, you know, at the preview here. 3 versus a 6 seed. The Hawks, 3 games in a row that they've won. Obviously, I think they got to win this game in order to, you know, keep treading water in the NCAA tournament rankings. Obviously, Indy's breathing right down their neck, which is kind of odd because Indy's the number 2 ranked team in the GLVC, yet they're behind the Hawks in the regional rankings for the NCAA tournament. And Indy's got a, you know, a favorable matchup too. They're going against I think Drury, who's on a little bit of a losing on a losing skid as well. Yep. So you have to go into this game expecting Indy to win. So I think you got to match them. You got to match Indy. If they're able to win this game, and Indy goes on to win too, it'd bring up that, you know, 2-3 matchup in Indy coming
in Rockers. Yeah, Rockers.
Oh yeah, 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 in Rockers. So. Yeah, I mean, it's an important game here, and I think something that has really helped the Hawks is the emergence of Artan Amini, who not only won GLVC Player of the Week, but also National Player of the Week.
Yep.
The way he's been rolling offensively right now really just kind of, you know, takes a little pressure off of Taylor Reese, who's kind of been your go-to guy this year,
which,
I think.
Which I think if we were told that at the beginning of the season, we would have been really, really shocked, I think. had we known that at the beginning of the season.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't have been shocked. I mean, I've seen Taylor play since high school, so I knew he had the talent. But no, I did not expect him to be the leader on offense. I expected him to be more of the secondary kind of player. But he's really stepped up his game, and it's really helped out the Hawks. Obviously, it's kept them afloat not only in the GLVC but you know in the regional rankings as well. So, you know, it's been a pleasant surprise, you know, to see him grow as a player this year. And then obviously, Amini, just the right time to emerge as that secondary star that this team needs.
I think another person who stepped up too is Jordan Stevens. He's kind of gotten he won't get the love. He won't be scoring a lot of goals like Amini has or like X or Jordan did last year. But he's getting in the right position and he's getting the assists. He's getting the goals and in crucial times. And that's, you know, sometimes that's what you need too. You just need another person who can contribute, not necessarily all the time, but you know, come up in a big spot every once in a while, and that provides another option. He had the game-winning goal against Truman State on assist from Taylor Reese. I don't know why I said wrist, that's just another weapon you're adding to this offense that, you know, was stagnant a few weeks ago, and now it's just starting to heat up. And, you know, I think if you win against Indy, the reason I think you need to win against Bellarmine, not India, excuse me, is Bellarmine is actually eighth, I believe. Let me pull that up. Eighth, yep, they're eighth in the Midwest rankings. Quincy's fifth, only top six get in. If Bellarmine beats Quincy in this game, I think you'd have to say that Bellarmine might get in over Quincy, or it'd be close at least, especially if Bellarmine wins against Indy too. It would be
I think they'd have to be Indy as well to get over QU. I mean, just you look at the record, it'd be 11-7. I know Quincy'd be 10-6-1, or is that?
Yeah, 10-6-1.
10-6-1. Sorry, font's kind of small, but yeah. I wouldn't put Bellarmine in over Quincy if the Hawks lost. I mean, now granted, if it was like a 4-1 loss, maybe I would. But I think Bellarmine has to run the table against both Quincy and Indy in order to, you know, really make their case.
The only reason I could see it is if Indy wins and Quincy loses on Sunday. I think Indy hops into 5 and Quincy hops into 6.
Oh, absolutely.
And Bellarmine, I think, would jump into 7. And then Bellarmine wins, and then they're for sure over Quincy. If they beat Indy, I think they even jump over Indy at that point, just based on head to head. But it's really almost a toss up. Really, I think the easiest way for Quincy is just win on Sunday, because I think on Sunday, I don't know if you necessarily guarantee yourself a place, but you're better off than losing. Because if you lose, that's just who knows.
Famous words of Al Davis, just win, baby.
Yeah, exactly.
You just got to worry about yourself. You don't be worrying about you, Indy. In golf, like this for me, it just reminds me of match play in golf. You always expect your opponent to make the putt, or you always expect your opponent to make the shot. If you're the QU, you have to expect Indy to win and just win yourself. Expect them to win, and if they lose, whatever, you know, but just go out there and win. You can't be worried about what they do on their game against Drury. You just got to be worried about what you're going to do against Bellarmine. Yep. You got to take care of business, and if, you know, you meet up against Indy, hell, man, just give them your best shot. Beat them.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
I think if you beat Indy, you're in regardless.
Oh, you're locked. That's a lock. It's a lock. If they make it to,
they might even jump into the 3 or 4 spot if other games play their way. If they win the whole GOVC tournament, not only are they for sure in, but they're contending for a top 3 spot. I think in the regional rankings. Just because you beat the number one seed,
they have a shot.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna get that far into it, but I'm just gonna say if they even make it to the GLVC conference title match, I think it's just they're locked in for a spot.
For sure. I think one team that I think we can both agree on in terms of being locked in would be the women's team.
Yeah,
I think that's fair to say, unless something really drastic happens, like I don't know, it'd have to be a lot of teams would have to do a lot of crazy things that I can't foresee happening for them to not get in. I think they get in. And, even though they lost against Truman on Wednesday, this is a team at this moment I still wouldn't want to play. And just because they've been hot lately. And you never want to play that kind of team in the postseason.
Yeah, winners of their 5 of their last 6. you know, we both predicted them to go into Truman and win, but neither of us are going to sit here and say it's a bad loss because Truman's a tough team, second overall seed in the GLVC. I mean, they've only lost one game in the conference. So it was always going to be a tough win for the Lady Hawks on the road. They are now slotted for a date with Lewis here at Legends Stadium at 12 o'clock on Sunday. You know, obviously it's a game you expect the Lady Hawks to win the way they've been playing lately. And, you know, it could set up another date with Truman in the semis.
Yeah. I think if you can beat Lewis and then come back and beat Truman again, I would like Quincy's chance to beat, Bellarmine or anyone else on that side of the bracket to win the GOC tournament. And, you know, they've shown their flashes of absolute brilliance, the women's team has, you know, beating Grand Valley State and beating undefeated Bellarmine, or then undefeated Bellarmine. But then they've also showed, you know, the not so instances of brilliance. And I think it'll be important, especially against a team like Lewis. You know, Quincy beat Lewis 3-1 in the regular season. You know, Lewis is a team that, you know, played Quincy really tough. And this is no gimme for QU, especially in the first round. Lewis will be gunning to come out and try and pull a shocker on in this game.
Well, this is a Lewis team that came out and got ahead of in front of the Lady Hawks, yep, in their match, you know, and it took a comeback win for the Lady Hawks, I believe, earlier in the season, remain undefeated. Was that right?
3-1. 3-1, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, the challenge for the Lady Hawks, it seems, has been not playing down to their competition.
Yeah.
You know, this is a game against Lewis where...
4-2 against Lewis, sorry.
Yeah, I believe Lewis jumped out in front. Oh, two, was it 2-0? And then Lady Hawks scored four in a row. But they scored four goals in a matter of 20 minutes in the second half, in that contest. So, you know, like I said, it's a matter of not playing down to your competition. Just take care of business, jump out in front early, and you know, jam your foot down the throat. You can't give this team any breathing room. You can't give them any opportunities. You can't give them any kind of belief that they're going to come in and win this game. And, you know, like you also said, you know, the cream rises to the top. Apparently, they play these tough teams really well, like Bellarmine, Grand Valley State. I'm not going to go ahead and to say that they could beat anybody on that side of the bracket, because obviously Bellarmine's going to pose as a tough challenge. I know the Lady Hawks already beat them on the road once, and they'd have to do it again as well in the GLVC Conference Championship. This Bellarmine team, you know, it's a tough team. You know, they're going to be out looking for revenge if the Lady Hawks were able to make it to the, you know, championship game, yep, against them. But, you know, like Coach Musso says, one game at a time. You're in a position now where you go out there and you just take it one half at a time, you know. Just win each game that you're put in front of, you know, with this team with Lewis. I'm sure Musso is just saying, you know, just go out there and win. Go out there and win Sunday. We'll worry about our opponent when we get there.
Yeah, I think, you know, the focus is solely on Lewis, because if you don't beat Lewis, then nothing else matters in GOC. And then you have to wait around for it would be a week and a half before you can get started in the NCAA tournament. I think that's the big thing, because, you know, QU will be in the NCAA tournament, but you don't want to be sitting around for a week and a half, not playing any games while, you know, everyone else is still getting match sharp and, you know, staying pretty focused. So, you know, the big thing is you win, you're guaranteed one more game at least next weekend. And you don't have to sit around for a week and a half waiting for the NCAA tournament to get started.
Yeah, and we're just kind of looking at Bellarmine's schedule right now. They've had a phenomenal season. Their defense has been something to really marvel at. A lot of shutout victories for this team. Their offense hasn't exactly been that good. They only, you know, tend to put up one or two goals.
Yeah,
yeah. You see a couple of three-goal games sprinkled in there for them, but, you know, this is an offense that doesn't score a lot of goals, but, man, is their defense and goalkeeping sharp.
Yeah, I think they play McKendree in the first round of the GOVC, a team they only beat 1-0 in the first GOVC game of the season. Really, I think this is I don't think it'll happen, but it's possible that all the lower seeds win in the GOVC tournament. That's just how close the women's side of the tournament is. If McKendree can go out and beat Bellarmine, and Rockers goes out and beats Truman, then Quincy wins. Quincy's hosting the whole GOVC tournament as a three seed.
That's right.
And then you really like Quincy's chances to win the whole thing. And that just becomes a huge, huge thing. You know, you don't have to travel anywhere, especially all the way to Louisville if Bellarmine wins. You stay at home and you get all the benefits of being at home and playing on your field. That's big for Quincy, and that's something that they're going to really need in order to kind of, you know, prep themselves for the upcoming NCAA tournament.
Absolutely. So talking men's women's soccer here, how about you give me a prediction for what you think is going to happen over the weekend in the quarterfinal of the GLVC conference tournament play?
I think the men actually go out. I think they're going to struggle. I think Bellarmine wins 2-1 in overtime. I think it'll be a really close game. I don't think it'll be a 4-1 game at all. And I think on the women's side, I think Quincy wins against Lewis. I want to say 3-1. It'll be close at the beginning, but I think QU will pull away and get the win. What are your thoughts?
Man, I'm going to go 3-2 QU.
Really?
This is something that I just changed my mind mid-podcast. Yeah. But for the women, I'm with you. I'm a 2-1, 3-1 kind of game. I think the Lady Hawks take care of business. And I think one of Truman State or Bellarmine falls.
Yeah, I think so too.
I don't think both will fall, but I think one might.
I honestly think it'll be Truman. But I could see both. I could see none. It's just so hard
to predict.
Yeah, it really is. And I guess we'll see how it plays out on Sunday.
Absolutely. So there you have it, our predictions for the upcoming weekend. And you can tune in next week and see if we're right on our predictions. It's not very often, but hey, who knows? Maybe this will be the week that Andy and I are right on our predictions. We'll be back next week for recapping the football game, nationally televised, and then obviously the quarterfinal of the GLVC conference tournament play for men's and women's soccer. I'd like to thank everybody for listening. Thank Andy Martinez for giving us his perspective on this week's sports. I'm Andrew McCulloch, and we will see you next week, Hawks fans.